Hi, it's Matthew Wagner here, and thanks again for joining me. Today we're looking at another question from a panic attack sufferer, more specifically a subscriber to my newsletter, which of course you can become a free subscriber if you're not already by just simply going to my website and putting your email into the box. It's a free newsletter, continuous newsletter, and very up-to-date newsletter. And I answer your questions in my future installments when you submit them. Very easy to submit questions without even sending an email. But there's my pitch. For more information about the newsletter, sign up. Just go to www.panicattackrecovery.com. www.panicattackrecovery.com. The question from the subscriber today reads as follows. How do I stop them, or at least lessen the severity of a panic attack? Also, what is the difference between a panic attack and an anxiety attack? Well, first of all, there is no difference between a panic attack and anxiety attack. They refer to the same thing, just slightly different terminology. Probably what you think here is that if you think about terminology, it evolves over time. At one point, more often than panic attack, you would have heard the term anxiety attack. That really was around before panic attack came into existence, or became as popular. And before that, anxiety and panic attack disorders really became as identified as they are today. People may have just been said to be neurotic, but we certainly know that it's not simply a matter of neurosis, and we don't use that terminology anymore in the mental health field. But anyways, that there is no difference between anxiety and panic attack. Now, you may recall from a previous installment that I discussed the notion that people have behaviors that are tied in with their anxiety or panic attacks. In other words, certain reactionary tendencies that get activated when they feel anxious. For example, some people, when they feel anxious, will speak more quickly or loudly. Some will talk faster. Some people pace back and forth. Some people will cover their head in their hands, bury their head in their hands. Some people will sigh with anxiety. Some will cry. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list that I've just read here, because there are many different behaviors associated with anxiety. But I think you get the idea. The key is locating your own specific behaviors associated with your anxiety and panic attacks. You might be asking, how can I do this? Well, first of all, you can do this by monitoring yourself during a panic attack and immediately writing down your behaviors in a journal. Now, of course, this might be quite difficult to do when you're in the middle of a panic attack. But let me just make a couple of points here. If you monitor and write down your tendencies during an attack, you'll be getting your mind off the continual circular thoughts that haunt you during such anxiety, and you'll be lessening your panic attack symptoms. Even if it is not feasible for you to write your thoughts down at the time, or rather, not your thoughts, sorry, but your tendencies down at the time, because you feel very overwhelmed, you can always do this later. The key is writing these things down as soon as you're able to do so, so that you've got them to refer to. Now, just want to stop for a second, because you might be thinking, where do we go here? Well, the question asked was, how do I stop or lessen the severity of panic attacks? And that's what I'm getting at here. You need to write down your tendencies. Let's say that you've written down your tendencies. You need to look at your own tendencies as an individual and think in terms of opposites. So you would say to yourself, what is the opposite of what I do? So let's just say that you talk very quickly when you get anxious. Okay, what's the opposite of talking very quickly? It is obviously talking very slowly. What's the opposite of pacing back and forth when you become anxious? It's, of course, sitting still, or at least standing still. I just want to look at some more examples. Let's just say that you're someone who begins to constantly look in the mirror when you get anxious, to monitor for perhaps you're monitoring to see what color your face is, to see if you're very white looking, you look very sickly, or perhaps you're looking to see at your pupils. Now, what unfortunately happens here is when someone is anxious is that they'll look in the mirror and they'll see that their pupils are dilated. This is completely natural when you're anxious. It's the body's fight or flight response being activated. And you'll probably notice your heart is racing. Your hands might be sweating. You'll notice all of these things. But just going back to the mirror here, you'll go to the mirror and you'll see those pupils and that'll make you more anxious. That's one of the things that happened to me when I had my first panic attack. I thought to myself, at first I was like, oh, I feel really strange. Wonder what's wrong. I go and look in the mirror and I see my pupils are really dilated. I'm thinking, and then I got really anxious and then my heart's racing. Like, it made it worse. And that's why doing the opposite is so important. Because if you do the opposite, it seems your brain gets a signal that there's no need to continue along this fight or flight response. Your symptoms start to lessen. by doing the opposite. Now, the hard thing about this is that you will definitely resist doing the opposite because it's a habit. Okay, whenever you get anxious, you do your certain reactionary tendency. So if you're a person who talks quickly or you're a person who paces back and forth, if you start to talk more slowly and you sit still or you stand still or you don't go to the mirror to see what you look like, all these things will be at you. But it's important to stay the course. And you'll find that your anxiety starts to go down. You know, here's an ironic thing here, but it's quite true. Because you become so accustomed to the whole process of having a panic attack and the feeling that you're going to lose control, even though by doing the opposite of your reactionary tendencies, you're lessening your symptoms, this will actually, in that moment, feel unnatural because you're so used to the natural progression of your anxiety. So if you begin to slow down your thoughts and gain control, you know, in your mind, I shouldn't say you're actually gaining control, because you've never really lost control, but what I mean is you get the feeling that you're gaining control. That in itself may feel strange, because normally what would have happened is your anxiety would have been worsened and your panic attack would have been much more severe as your symptoms continue on, but you're breaking that cycle. So that in itself, I'm just warning you that that may feel a bit strange because you're thinking, I am getting control. But because you can think so circularly, you think in circles is what I'm trying to say, when you're having a panic attack, it may feel strange. Everything sort of goes in a circle. But the key is that once you've written down the opposites of your tendencies, you make sure that you employ these strategies whenever you feel anxious or when you're having a panic attack. What I would recommend you do is you take these opposites that you've written down and you make sure you use them. You put them onto a cue card and you carry that with you. And you just pull it out when you are feeling anxious. And you're going to quickly remember what these opposite tendencies are. But it'll be important, I think, to have the cue cards just as a symbol of the progress that you're making. So the important point is implementing this when you feel anxious or you are having a panic attack. You know, the key is consistency here. You need to consistently follow through with these new opposite behaviors. I'll call them opposite behaviors. I think that's a better way of framing them. Each time you feel anxious, and do not give up. If you persevere with these new behaviors, you will eventually move in the opposite direction of your anxious physiological symptoms of anxiety.
All information presented in these podcasts is provided for educational and informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for a psychologist, psychiatrist, or other healthcare provider's consultation. Please consult a psychologist, psychiatrist, or appropriate healthcare provider about the applicability of any opinions or recommendations with respect to your own panic attacks, anxiety, or agoraphobia, or any other symptom or condition.